NASA 557, contact tower 128.15.
Caution, caution. Manual, fuel, manual, fuel.
I'm John Golia.
I'm Greg Fife.
And I'm Todd Curtis.
And we are the Flight Safety Detectives.
Between us, we have over a century of aviation accident investigation and safety experience to draw on as we discuss issues that affect all of us.
So we are qualified to share our perspectives on accidents and incidents and what can be learned from them for the future.
We're proud to say that we have two sponsors that really relate to the topic of aviation safety: the Professional Aviation Maintenance Association, or PAMA, and Avemco Insurance. Later on in the show, we'll tell you how you can get a 5% discount on your insurance just for listening to the show.
We don't just dissect the official reports. In every episode, we identify safety issues and take the mystery out of accident investigations.
So maybe pilots and their planes can have safer flights ahead.
Welcome to another edition of the Flight Safety Detectives. Today we have myself, Todd Curtis, and of course, the great John Golia. Today's show is going to talk about something a little bit different. An event on an Air Force plane, not just any Air Force plane, but a plane that's sometimes used to fly the president. Yes, we're talking about Air Force One here. And it's a kind of problem that is not just restricted to Air Force airplanes and certainly not restricted to the president. This is back in 2016. And according to a mishap report from the Air Force, between the 1st and 10th of April 2016, Boeing maintenance workers at a plant in San Antonio, where a lot of heavy maintenance happens on Air Force aircraft, there were three mechanics who were using tools to repair the oxygen system on this 747. The tools were contaminated. And as a result, when they were performing a leak check with these contaminated tools, the system got contaminated with lubricants, greases, et cetera, which, because it's a pure oxygen system, has the effect of making this a fire hazard and a danger to anybody using this aircraft. Now, this aircraft, of course, was assigned to the unit at Andrews Air Force Base near Washington and flies the president. And this is a 747, which is used often in conjunction with a second, almost identical 747, to make long trips with the president. And even though it's an Air Force aircraft, even though it's Air Force One, it has to be maintained like any other aircraft. And typically, for a lot of the heavy maintenance on Air Force One aircraft, as well as many other military aircraft, you have civilians doing the work. And in this case, it was a crew from Boeing. And the accident write-up from the Air Force talks about a fire hazard being present here and how to prevent a fire hazard. The maintenance manual requires that all tools and components used on the oxygen systems be what they call oxygen clean, so contaminants don't exceed specified levels prior to oxygen system maintenance. That's a mouthful. And here's where I'm going to hand it over to you, because you know this kind of stuff backwards and forwards. So what's going on here with the oxygen system?
First off, let's clarify what Boeing does here. Typically, Boeing does not do the maintenance for commercial airliners. They'll do major accident damage, but normally the routine maintenance, including heavy maintenance visits and engine changes, they don't do that stuff normally. But in this case, with the military Air Force One type airplanes, both of which are Boeing models, two Air Force 747s, and I forget how many 757s they have, as if it could be Air Force One and the president's on it, but usually the vice president and the Speaker of the House are the ones that use that most frequently. So this is by contract, and Boeing typically bids the contract low enough that they get the contract year after year after year. So that's usually a bargain for the U.S. Air Force. But in this particular case, it talks about a fire hazard for oxygen. Now, most people may not be aware that oxygen, pure oxygen, 99% pure, even lower, and even a 91 or 92% oxygen, that sometimes in welding bottles. Doesn't like oil and vice versa. In fact, when I was in school to become a mechanic, that we had one individual that used to think he was a smart guy, and he would take the welding oxygen and turn it on so it was coming out of the nozzle, and he would run it across an oily rag that he had. And although I wasn't present on the day that this happened, it was the talk of the school, because he did it one day and it flared up and it singed his eyebrows and burnt a whole bunch of his hair. Could have been a lot worse, but he was very fortunate that he stood when it ignited and he was back from it. So it's nothing to be messed with. Oxygen and oil will do their own combustion. You don't need a match. You don't need anything to it. And additionally, because this is breathing oxygen on an airplane, the last thing you want to introduce into the system, because it's a contained system, is any kind of contaminants, because they could also cause problems inside the tubing that delivers the oxygen to the pilots and to other people. So it's a double whammy here for this system. And it's obvious that the system was really contaminated given the cost to repair this. They, in the report, they mentioned it costs at least $4 million to repair this screw-up. So what we have is three individuals, essentially, that are going to do some work on the oxygen. But the Air Force has strict procedures on tools and components have to be what they call oxygen clean, which means you really pay attention to what's you've used on them, what contaminants they might be exposed to. I mean, even in the airlines, we had special packaging for equipment that was around the oxygen. And we typically treated that system with very much kid gloves. And we've lost airplanes because of problems with this. I mean, the Swiss Air over Nova Scotia had a fire in the cockpit, electrical fire, and it actually burned through the line, the oxygen line going to the pilots. And since that is on all the time, right up to the oxygen mask that they put on, the emergency oxygen mask, once it melted through that soft aluminum tubing, they had an oxygen-fed fire in the cockpit of Swiss Air. So fortunately, in this case, we didn't have a fire, but we had a contaminated system. So we have these three mechanics, and they went out to the airplane and to do their checks on it. It's a leak check, and there's some components apparently that they're replacing, although it's not 100% clear the report what they were replacing, but they do mention the components that were not oxygen clean, so to speak, in their terms. So they went out to do the maintenance on this airplane, and part of it is a leak check. And one of the things that they do, when you have fittings from the oxygen bottles, which are usually remote from the cockpit and remote from the passenger area, you have plumbing that goes up. And you need to make sure that's not leaking, because you don't want leaking oxygen running rampant inside a cockpit in an airplane, because it could cause a fire. It could run into oily products or whatever. So the integrity of this system is very much maintained and done. And one of the things that maintenance does to ensure that integrity is routinely leak check all the fittings. And the fittings are typically with O-rings and sometimes at AN fittings, but they are typically pretty robust as far as preventing leaks. But they do leak. Airplanes are a big vibration source. It's shaking bacon as it's moving along in the air, and over time things wear. So they have a mixture, and basically it's soap. But you know, in this context, not all soap is created equal, because there is soap that's made from petroleum, because it works very good at cleaning up grease off your hands and grease off other substances. So you have to have the right kind of soap that doesn't contain any petroleum products. So it's very clear. The manual's very clear. And in fact, the soap that you use is very clear in its use. And apparently, that was not what was used in this case. Apparently, somebody gave these two guys that were doing the work some soap. it wasn't oxygen proof. And now they're introducing that throughout the system on the airplane as they pour it in and look for leaks in different places. And so they did that. It's not clear how it was found, but the report says that upon finding the non-oxygen clean regulator connected to the airplane, Boeing tested the regulator and contamination was found. So if whatever was the soap was, it had contaminated the regulator and gotten inside it. That means it's inside the tubing to the airplane. It runs extensively from the belly, down in the belly of the airplane, up to the cockpit, and back to the passenger cabin. So that's a big deal now.
Now, it's fortunate we have you to explain this, because literally there was a one-page report we have here. This is an Air Force investigation because it's an Air Force aircraft, and they typically have an executive summary that's released to the public. And the really detailed stuff, the kind you would see in a typical NTSB report, is somewhere in the Air Force archives, but I couldn't find any. And given the nature of this aircraft, I would say it's probably going to be difficult to find out more about this. And also, the Air Force has a different way of doing things. The typical investigation, of course, an Air Force One aircraft isn't typical, but a typical Air Force investigation has a part that deals with what happened and how to prevent it. And a second part, what's called the legal investigation, that determines who's at fault. But we do have from this one-page summary that Boeing was the entity that paid the $4 million fee to fix this.
Right. And it was three of their employees, which they just identify as Mechanic 1, Mechanic 2, and Mechanic 3, essentially. So they didn't follow procedures. And the system calls them out for that. The cause of the mishap was using non-oxygen clean tools, parts, components, and a regulator. So they really messed up in what they did. And that soap was probably a big contributor to it.
Now, this is something that is not on every aircraft, but certainly there are a lot of commercial airliners out there that have this same kind of oxygen system to feed into mask. And how often does this sort of thing have you seen in your career?
Well, we service oxygen pretty regularly because they do come down. And in the commercial world, when a pilot picks up an airplane in the morning to go flying, he'll put the smoke mask on and breathe the oxygen. So he breathes a little bit. And every time a new crew comes on the airplane, which is usually two or three times a day, they do it again. So over 3 or 4 days, the oxygen now is bled down a little bit. And we're not talking about a lot. We're talking about from 1,800 PSA down to 1,500 PSA in pounds per square inch, should be. And what most mechanics will do, because it's on an overnight, if it gets anywhere close to 1,500 pounds, they'll service it. Because what it means is that maybe during the day it would be below 1,500. And the minimum on most of these, minimum for departure is usually 1,200, 1,250. So, but you don't ever want to get down that low. You want to keep it up. So we would service oxygen pretty frequently, every 2-3 days for sure, to keep it up closer to 1,800 than it is to 1,500. And occasionally mistakes would be made. As I started to talk about this, I can recall an event in Salt Lake City, where Utah, where a mechanic was charging the oxygen system during the day because it bled down, and it's down in the lower bowels of the airplane where the electronics and a lot of other things live, and somehow the oxygen leaked out. Maybe he pulled the nozzle off and it was still connected. I don't know. I don't remember. But anyway, it started a fire on the airplane, and there were people on the airplane. So it turned into quite an event. And we should probably try to look that one up and talk about that one as well. But in this particular case, we have three mechanics that failed to follow procedure, failed to use the proper tools, and contaminated a system to the tune of $4 million to restore the system back to serviceable condition.
In your opinion, if this mistake had not been caught and this aircraft were put back into service, whether or not the president was on board, what's the worst that could have happened? Would this be a system that would only be used in emergencies where they would put on the mask and suddenly it's contaminated with petroleum? Or could this actually ignite and cause a fire during a routine flight?
I believe it could ignite. There's nothing to stop it from igniting if that was an oil base, and we know it was by the report, oil-based product that was in there. It could spread inside the tubing. And don't forget the pilots, as part of their checklist, will suck on this every time that they put a new crew on the airplane. They'll suck on their masks to make sure it's working, because those regulators in the cockpit sometimes don't work properly. You know, very infrequently, but they do fail. So that's why every morning or every time a new crew comes on an airplane, they put the mask on and take a couple of deep breaths usually to make sure that it's delivering the oxygen they need in case there's smoke in the cockpit from a fire or from another source. So it does get used, and those contaminants can spread through the system. I have never heard of them starting a fire inside, but there's nothing that says that it won't, because you've got the ingredients for fire, which is the oil and the oxygen. So it very easily could ignite inside the, and raise the pressure to the point that the tubing bursts, breaks open, and now the oxygen-fed fire would be throughout the airplane. What a disaster that would be. So it's maybe it's rare that something like that would happen, but it's a total disaster if it does. So that's why there's so many procedures and so much intention given to the people that service oxygen. And in fact, this report goes on to say that the Boeing employees, they failed to apply the cleanliness products while performing their maintenance, which is a given. We said that. But it also says that they forgot their training, right? So which is interesting, which means they were trained, but they fail to use the process and procedures that they were trained to. So that really is a impeaching statement for those employees, those mechanics involved with it. Now, it might be interesting to note for everybody out there that typically these maintenance people that work for Boeing in these military projects are typically not certified airframe and power plant mechanics that the airlines use. And the training that they receive may not be the same as what the airlines provide. So there's some gaps there in what we know and what occurred. But the fact is that three people who have been trained, who understood what oxygen systems maintenance was, failed to take the necessary precautions to make sure that they didn't succumb to putting contamination, mainly petroleum-based products, in close proximity to an oxygen system, and they contaminated.
You know, one of the reasons that we picked this out is for the very reason that this was happening on an aircraft that serves as Air Force One whenever the president's on board. And my hope, at least, was that just that fact might perk people's ears up, listen a little bit more closely to this, and look at their own procedures and their own processes to see if this kind of thing has happened in the before or almost happened, and can they prevent it? And, you know, in defense of these three people who are fingered in this report, we don't have the background information. We don't know the history of who these maintenance people were. Were they actually people who've done this on a regular basis? Or were these people that were slotted in at the last minute, had no real previous training specifically at a deep level on this? I don't know if this is the first time they've ever touched the oxygen system on a 747 or the 100th time. We just don't know. And I would hope that the Air Force, which has all this information, is sharing this with their maintenance community so they can learn from it.
Yeah, typically they do, but one never knows because this is a contractor. So did the contractor keep it in-house? We don't know. We're too far removed from it. but it is a good example of failure to follow procedures, which, according to the FAA, is the number one cause of maintenance problems in the commercial aviation system. It's failure to follow procedures. And we've been preaching it all over in our competition, Todd, that both you and I are involved with. We have procedures for every testing area we give, and the students and the journeymen that are participating will lose points if they fail to follow the procedures. So we strongly emphasize the use of procedures in our competition. And vocally in all my presentations, I raise failure to follow procedures. So everybody is trying to put the word out there. And I think it might be working, because the number of real serious incidents that we've seen in the last several years or more has been pretty low. So I think maybe the message is getting across, but it really needs to be zero, and it's not zero. So we'll have to wait and see where it goes. But this is a word to the wise for everybody that's out there, every mechanic that's out there, every pilot, because a lot of pilots on their own airplanes handle oxygen, especially on lighter general aviation airplanes, or even twins that climb up to altitude. They're going across the pond. They want to have some altitude, and they have portable oxygen bottles. You need to treat those with a lot of respect. You need to know what's on your airplane. You need to make sure that there's no oily products on. And a good example of this is, I mean, a great example, disaster of this is ValueJet. In ValueJet, there was oxygen generators in the system, which means it's a container that when it's triggered will start generating oxygen. And we figured the sequence of events that triggered the generators that were contained in that cargo area. And they happened to be shipped with bubble wrap, which is made from petroleum. And there it is right there. You got the ignition source being the bubble wrap, and you got the material that's highly flammable, the oxygen. And that brought down that airplane. As I said in the beginning, Swiss Air was brought down because of an oxygen fire. And we had the three astronauts killed at Cape Kennedy years ago because of an oxygen fire inside the module. So it does occur occasionally. And, you know, if you let your guard down, you're running the risk of having a disaster.
And just to a reminder for folks out there, you might be thinking, well, the air is full of oxygen. How is it much more volatile than regular atmosphere? Well, the regular atmosphere is actually mostly made up of inert gases, nitrogen. I think it's like, 75, 78%? And only about 20% of the breathable air you're breathing is oxygen. And I remember back when I was in middle school, we had this experiment where, you know, we did a little electrolysis. We had an upside-down test tube, had pure oxygen in one tube and pure hydrogen in the other. You would stick this, piece of paper that was just glowing, maybe a spark on it, and would like really flame up in the oxygen one, and would go poof, little explosion in the hydrogen one. So yeah, once you get pure oxygen, it reacts, and whatever is ignited tends to burn a whole lot better.
Right, and oxygen, when you get below about 9%, maybe 8.5%, but in that area of oxygen to the nitrogen that's in our air, it won't support combustion. But 100% oxygen very easily supports a big fire. That's what, you know, just as a example, oxygen is what really gives us the fire in acetylene torch, the torch that we use for years and years before electric welding became the norm. And oxyacetylene has been a go-to torch for, you know, over 100 years. So it's dangerous. You have to treat it with kid gloves.
Well, on this one, I think we've pretty much covered the territory we could, given the fairly limited information we have. But I think that limited information does point out something, that the civil aviation world obviously has a big safety system and a lot of communication back and forth. the military services around the world have their own way of doing things. In the United States, you literally have a major safety arm of the Air Force, the Army, and the Navy who conduct research and investigations all the time of the mishaps that happen. And those three services, and also the, I believe the Coast Guard, have a similar sort of process in that they'll do an investigation. There might be a little bit released to the public, but most of it isn't. Now, we have the fortune of having a system where in the civilian world, we can freely share all over the world. And I'm hoping that the military has been following suit, especially given that with the internet, it's so much easier to ship information back and forth, even by secure means. So if there's something to be learned from an investigation, share it with people in your community, whatever that community may be.
Okay. Well, Todd, you can have the second last word.
Oh, that was my second to last word. It's all up to you now, John.
Okay. And as always, since we haven't cleaned this problem up, it's just an ongoing problem in aviation. If you're going to go flying, pre-plan. You know, do your flight planning at home or in the hotel before you go to the airport. Do it again at the airport. When you get out to your airplane, do a meaningful pre-flight inspection. I still see people that are doing once-over lightlies. Sometimes it's because they just flew the airplane in. Doesn't matter. Things go wrong in flight that you don't even know about. So do a very thorough pre-flight every time you're going to go fly your airplane. Every time you're on the ground, look it over very, very closely. And then after you get in the air, please put that head on a swivel. We've gotten many, many, many emails explaining to us what they've seen when they had their head on the swivel. Things that have been going on close to their airplanes that if they weren't paying attention, could have been negative outcomes. So please, please look around. Don't get focused and down on your instrument panel like most of us have some point in time. All right, keep your head outside of the cockpit, not inside. And then please, please fly safely.
Thank you for checking out our show. We really value our listeners and subscribers. Our podcast gets ranked by you and how much you like it. So please give us 5 stars in your podcast platform.
We want to keep in contact with you. We are on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and of course, YouTube.
You can email the show at flightsafetydetectives@gmail.com. By the way, if you're on YouTube, we're really working on growing the channel, and it helps if you all send in comments. Please do that, and we read all the comments.
And be sure to subscribe. Remember, if you're in the market for aviation insurance, you can save 5% with Avemco just by mentioning our show. Visit them at www.avemco.com. That's it for this episode of the Flight Safety Detective. Until the next episode, fly safe.